The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
May be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's prayer.
Good morning. Come on up and join me this morning. We're going to have a little fun. How are you doing? Everybody having a good week? Good. I'm glad. So, I love the lessons today. First of all, the Old Testament lesson is one that I love because it's a story of Jonah. Okay? And Jonah, when you think about Jonah, what do you think about? Do you think about mainly the big fish coming and swallowing him? Okay. Well, that's really a good part of the story, but it's only part of the story. What the story is really about is what our lesson talks about today. Jonah really didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't think the people were very good. And he even tried to run away on this boat to Tarshish, and the storm came up. God brought a storm up, and the guys threw him overboard because he said, "I'm the reason. I'm running away from God." And then the whale comes and gets him. But even then, he doesn't die because the whale spits him back out. And yet, all throughout Jonah, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. And the people of Nineveh were bad, but they turned to God. So sometimes what we think is right and what God thinks is right may be different things. Okay? And I love Philippians, too. And we'll come back to that. But right now, what I want you to do is I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, what I want you to do is I want you to go out here and make me a straight line. We're going to be looking that way towards the elevator, okay? You think you can do that for me? All right, so straight line, pointing that way. One, two, three, go. Okay, pretty good, pretty good. I like that. Now, every line has to have a leader, right? And we have a leader right here. Okay, these two guys are going to be our leaders, okay? Now, thing about a leader is we used to think that that was really a neat privilege and honor to be the leader of the line, right? But I think these days it's kind of become more than that. I think we kind of think that because I'm the leader, I'm the special person. I did something to deserve this. I am the big person in the line. I think we kind of started to think that way. Matter of fact, you may have made an arrangement with the person making the line so you can get up here. Which reminds me, there'll be $5 due at the end of the children's sermon here, like we agreed upon. But that leader of the line sometimes gets to think so much about themselves, they forget something. Without the rest of you, they're not a line leader, are they? They're just a leader. And as a leader, if you start thinking about only yourself, what if somebody isn't paying attention back here and you take off? Then all of a sudden, there's no line anymore. There's a big gap in the middle. Or if they fall and hurt themselves, you'll never know because you're always, I'm the leader. But what happens if we do this? Now, if I was to do that, how do you think that person up front is going to feel? Especially if he's thinking, I'm the best person. What's going to happen? They're going to start to say, hey, wait a minute. I was the best person. What are you doing up here? They might even get angry, right? By the way, the $5 is now your responsibility. I'm just kidding. You know what? That's where the second lesson comes in. Philippians is really a neat book. It says, I want you to stand side by side. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around and face them. Now look, is there a leader? Actually, you all are. Now, one more thing. Put your arms on your hips like that, but put your arm through the person next to you. So in other words, link arms. Okay? Now, if somebody forgets and doesn't move with you, you're going to know it because there's going to be a drag on your arm. You're going to be like that. And if somebody is missing, you're both pointing the same direction, and you're going to see that person drop out. And you're going to know there's somebody missing. That's what they're talking about in Philippians. This is what he wants our church to look like. There's leaders in there, but we're working together side by side. And the other neat thing about it is, with your arms linked like that, there's always room for somebody on either end. Or, even, if they don't want to be on the ends, they can come in the middle. So that's what I think we should be thinking about. Let God guide us, and let's work together. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter who's first and last in your eyes. We're all children of God. When we come to baptism, you don't say this person first or that person last. We all come as a child of God. Help us to work together with you and build your church up, ready to welcome anyone into our line. Amen. Thank you. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think if any of you parents out there, anybody who's ever been a parent of more than one kid, have heard this before. It's not fair. It's not fair. He got a bigger piece of cake than I did. It's not fair. She got to go and I didn't get to go. We hear it's not fair, and we hear it in the home. We hear it at school. We hear it in the workplace. We hear it with labor relations. We hear it in politics. We hear it in social issues. We hear it across the world. It's not fair. They got more than I did. It's not fair. We try to teach our kids to be fair, to play by the rules, to be fair with one another. We live in a country where it's built into our documents of to be fair, for justice, for liberty and justice for all, that all people are created equal. We want to be fair. We want to try to be fair. We want to treat each other fair. We say we live in a country of laws, that the law should be applied to one person as well as to the next, that there should be justice in that. We want to be fair. But then we get to this parable here that we read today. And this Jesus tells this parable about a vineyard owner, a landowner, who pays his laborers the same, whether they worked 8 or 10 hours or whether they worked 1 or 2 hours. They all got the same amount of money. Now, is that fair? It really doesn't strike us either as being fair. And the one thing to think about here is God is not necessarily fair, because God goes beyond being fair. He goes way well above being fair. He is generous. This story is not about how to run a business. Because if you tried to run a business in this way, your workers would say, well, I don't have to work 8 or 10 hours a day. I can only work 1 or 2 hours a day, and I'll get paid the same. So why should I come in on time? Why should I get there early? Why should I be there and do all that work if I'm going to get paid the same? Or others may get jealous, just like here in this parable. They may get jealous and complain that it's not fair. This is not a way to run a business. This parable is not about running a business. And as a matter of fact, it seems to be intentional in trying to antagonize the workers. Intentionally, the landowner said to his manager, line the people up, line my workers up, so that the last ones who were here go through first, and then those that were here all day long go through last. And he paid them. He paid them in that way, and they saw what each other got. They knew what the wage was, and so when the last ones, the ones who had worked all day long, came through, they thought, this landowner is generous. He's going to pay us more. And when he did not, they hollered, unfair. They hollered, it's unfair. But he's intentional. I know I had a job in high school, and my employer told me, don't let the other see what you are making. That's between you and me. And I had no idea what others were making. They had no idea what I was making. If I knew what they were making, I might holler unfair. Or they may holler unfair. I may think, well, I'm working as hard as they are, but I'm not getting paid as much. Or I'm getting paid more, and so I must be better. And that's one thing that we do, is we compare ourselves with each other. We look around and we see other people who have more than what we have. And we can think in a couple of different ways. They must be better than we are. God must love them more. Or we start to think and get jealous. Why do they get that? Is God showing favoritism to them? Why do they have more than I do? We get jealous, we get angry, we get resentful. Or we look the other way and we see people who do not have as much as we do, and we think, well, I'm better than they are. See how much more God has blessed me? God must love me more. I must be doing right, that I have so much more than they have. They must not be as good a people as we are. They must be bad people. We judge people accordingly. And that's what strikes so much here in this parable, is that the landowner wanted to see what each one was getting paid, which doesn't work in our society. We don't. So otherwise, we do compare. We get jealous, or we get angry, or we get bloated. It doesn't work for us. But here in this parable, it seems that God is intentional in doing it that way. Why? Again, it's not a parable about business practices, but rather it's a parable about God's grace. It's a parable about God's grace and His mercy. You know, it must have stung a little bit when those first workers complained about their wage. But were they cheated? No. They received what they had agreed to receive. They were not cheated. God was fair in that instance. But was it fair that God gave more to those who did not work that long? No, it's not fair, but God was generous. He still gave them what their labor was worth, plus He gave them so much more. God does not seem to be fair. We don't always understand. We don't always know why. But God is not fair, because He is so generous. And that's what this parable is about. It's about the generosity of God. You know, we've been hollering it's not fair from the beginning of time. If you go all the way back to the to the story in Genesis. Cain gets jealous of Abel because God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He gets so jealous that he kills Abel. Cain kills Abel. And it goes throughout history. We are jealous. We holler, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's been going on forever. We can also say that God is not fair, but not because he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't give us what we deserve because he gives us so much more. And actually, what it is that we deserve is punishment. When we sin, we rebel against God. We say, God, I don't need you anymore. I don't need what you have. I don't need what you give to me. I can make it on my own. I can do what I want. I can make my best decisions for myself. But we can't. And when we do that, we're kicking God out. But God still is willing to accept us back. He sent his son into this world to lead us, to teach us, and to save us. He went to the cross and he died with our rebellion on his shoulders. And he rose again, assuring us of eternal life. God is way more than fair with us. He is generous. Generous without bounds. He continually gives to us. He saves us even though we do not deserve it. We can holler, it's not fair, God. But it's not fair, God, because you have given us so much more than we deserve. God continues to bless us each and every day. We need to remember that and remember where all our blessings come from. This parable does not teach us about how to handle business relations, but it teaches us the generosity of God. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Thanks be to God. Amen.